God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Text for consideration today is recorded for us in the book of Luke chapter 15, the first 10 verses. We hear these words in verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. God's word is truth. Amen. If I go to a bank and get $20 in cash and say afterwards, go to Walgreens to buy a chocolate bar, open up my bifold and see nothing in there, I feel a sense of loss. I could easily get out the credit card and buy it, but that isn't right. I leave the chocolate bar there and I go out to my car and I rip that thing apart right there in the parking lot. I don't care how many people are looking at me like I lost my mind. I lost my $20. It's in that little red Civic. And it will be found. The garbage is inspected and taken out piece by piece. Everything in the trunk, who knows how in the world it would end up there, but it has to come out. The middle console, if I had the proper equipment to do it, that would be gone. Maybe the $20 got stuck underneath there. I don't know what happened. I lost $20 and I'm intent to find it. And I will not rest until it is found. And when it is found, there's much rejoicing and a candy bar. That $20 will mean more to me than, say, if I was cleaning the car out in the summer and came across a $50 bill. It would to you too. Why? We are averse to loss. We hate it. We seek after something we have lost with passion. And if we come across good fortune, you know, it's nice. We'll take it. Thank the Lord for it. But if there is loss, we seek it with passion. It's called loss aversion. And if you can take a look at psychology books and take a look at it, feel free to do so. What are you worth? What is your soul worth? Way more than $20, I'll tell you that. I'll look at the cross. That is what you are worth. And what if you go missing from the fold of believers? Brothers and sisters in Christ, tear apart this world to look for the lost. Love speaks passionately because love sees value in what is lost. And in our text for today, we have an example of what it takes to do that. And that might be one of those lines that you just scan right past without noticing. Don't. Right there in the first verse, it says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. And Jesus was hanging out with people the rest of society looked down on, those ostracized, those, you know, if you were walking past them in Fleet Farm or maybe even in the church hallway, they might get looks from people, probably from you, maybe subconsciously or even worse, on purpose. The ones who left the church because it was more important to live with someone outside of marriage than to live in the ways of the Lord. The unwed mother who doesn't seem to want to get out of her cycle of sin. The convict, the addict, the drunkard, the abuser, the sinner. Or simply those apathetic to the Almighty. Can you see yourselves seeking them out to win them back to the Lord? Can you see yourselves seeking them out with passion? Jesus did. He was ridiculed for it. And so he tells a parable. He puts things into perspective and he shows the importance of the lost, the people we know, the ones who sat next to us in confirmation class or across the kitchen table or that we see at the family reunion. Yet for some reason, they are not before the Lord today. A man has 100 sheep. He loses one. And one isn't going to wreck him, but he seeks that one out with passion. And it doesn't say anything about the 99 in the field or the possible dangers of his search. The focus is on the lost. The sheep didn't deserve to be found. It shouldn't have gotten lost in the first place. But all that shepherd is thinking about is getting back his lost sheep. Do we understand? If he went to the zoo with the kids and lost one, you wouldn't think, well, we lost a spare, but we still have more. Let's just go home. No. No, you would seek that lost out. Because that child has immense value to you. So what does that hurts me to even say it in these terms, but what does the worthless sinner we talked about before have to you? They are precious to him. Make them precious to you. And think about it. Do you think that one lamb in the parable wanted to get lost? No. It was a combination of getting distracted by the things of this world, losing focus, finding comfort in the grass blades of ridiculousness and the thorn bushes instead of finding comfort in Christ. He was so focused on whatever was right there in front of his face that he wandered off. And it reminds me of people who fall off cliffs in the Grand Canyon while trying to get a selfie. One good picture with the price tag of death. And we can get just as lost when we focus on our work, on our hobby, on our children's elementary basketball schedule, the life that we make hectic. Yes, it is your own fault, and don't let anyone tell you different. We are as busy as we make ourselves be. And we can do that so much so that we slowly lose focus on our family time with our Heavenly Father. And then before you know it, he's an afterthought, and without realizing it, we're lost. And we don't deserve to be found. I mean, if we couldn't keep our focus on the one who has done all and suffered all for us, we deserve to be lost. We deserve punishment. And yet the Good Shepherd looks for you. He sees the value of sinners. You are in his heart. I am in his heart. And he came despite all the dangers, and he fought off all the predators like Satan, temptation, and sin. And Jesus, our Good Shepherd, laid down his life to pay for the sins of the world. Every soul is precious to him. Where we have failed to find value in the lost, may we ask God for forgiveness. A time of repentance in our own hearts. Let us bear it. And bear that sin. Let us put that sin out there before the cross. And see how the love of God paid for that sin. See how God values you in his love. And now, powered by that thought of new life and forgiveness, we will seek. We will love. And our love will speak passionately, overcoming every obstacle. Praying that, it might take days. It might take years. It might take decades to get up to that point. Praying that God would bless our words spoken in love to a lost soul. When the lost are found, when that lamb finds itself in the fold, once again let us rejoice. Verse 10, I tell you there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When you come to his house, when you repent of your sins in his presence, God's presence, when you receive his declaration of forgiveness, when you hear his words, when you come to his table and partake of the forgiveness of sins, the angels rejoice. It is a celebration in heaven. And our worship here is a celebration too. He calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Thanksgiving is coming up, and some of you will have guests that you have longed to see for some time now. They will reside at your house. They will dine with you. You celebrate family and friends. The finest food will be served. The finest dishes in your house and the finest wine you can afford will be out. You celebrate what is important to you with passion. We celebrate Christ. We celebrate salvation. We celebrate every lost soul that is found. And with determination, let us seek out the lost with the Good Shepherd. Let love speak passionately. Right now we are in his house. Let us not spare anything for this celebration, for this worship. Only the finest will do. God brings us his best. And rejoice by bringing to God our best. And rejoice by serving each other and loving one another with the finest that we have to offer. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.